We're still running.
So is this the guy I have on my basketball team?
He needs to be.
Is he the guy?
First of all, health-wise, how's it going? You come off the big injury, come back, and you get hurt again. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Pretty much just eyes set on coming back next season. You know, training staff, me, coaches, everybody feel good about that. So this is going to be a fun summer of doing book stuff, rehabbing, and just getting back to it next season. Looking forward to it.
Tell me a little bit about where you're from and you know, got going and when basketball started early for you, I'm sure.
I'm from Bronx, New York. I lived there till I was 10. My parents split up, and once I got to Florida, I was able to start playing ball, playing basketball. Went from AAU team to AAU team, and then kind of hit my stride. I became the number one player in the state of Florida, number five in the country, and then went to IMG for a year, IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. Went to Florida State for a year, and then got drafted to the Orlando Magic.
So you are playing for the Magic then?
Yes, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I hate to interrupt, guys, real quick. Could you tell them about your book and what? Yeah, that's awesome what he's got going on. I think some of you might not be aware
of
what.
No, I was not aware. Would you tell us about that?
Let's
start that over. I understand you've got a book. Would you tell us about it?
Yes, sir. So, it's okay, where to start? So, around the time of, you know, the Black Lives Matter thing went wild and the tragic death of George Floyd, right. In the NBA, we were in something called the NBA bubble, where we all went into Disney and had the bubble there. And there was immense pressure for all of the players to kneel and to wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. And I ended up being the only player not to do so. I chose to stand for the national anthem and not wear the Black Lives Matter t-shirt. But my reasoning was that I saw everything that everybody else saw. Obviously the tragic death of George Floyd and all the other things, but not just racism, not just that, but all the things that plague our society. And when I looked at my life, it has been Christ who has defined me. His love has helped me out of so many different things, fear, anxiety. The love of God has been the thing that has transformed my life, and I wanted to stand and offer that as a message to the world, not even just to that situation, but the world. And so the book is the story called Why I Stand, of how that all came about, from childhood, from, you know, my parents splitting up, to really struggling with finding my identity in basketball and it being my end-all be-all. And then coming to the Orlando Magic, meeting different people, meeting a pastor here in Orlando, and kind of recommitting my life to Christ, because I grew up in a Christian household. And from there, I've just been growing as a man of God and chose to make that decision.
Was there an aha moment in that decision? I mean, was there a point where it was like, hey, I need to do this?
Yes. Pretty much from the onset of it happening, I knew that I was uneasy with it. I never felt comfortable in the Black Lives Matter space declaring that Christ was the answer ultimately. So I'd be talking with friends and we'd be, yeah, that's tragic, that's awful. And then I would say, I believe that Christ is the answer. And then there would be that's where the divide would happen. They saw the problem, but they didn't see that as the answer. And my pastor was preaching a message one Friday night Bible study, and it was a story of Jesus being taken by the Romans. And Peter goes and cuts the guy's ear off, and Jesus goes and heals it back. And one of the things that he said was that, in anger and in a moment of frustration, and even when you take the white and black divide that is gone from the very foundation of our country, the message what you're trying to get across will get lost in the perpetual fighting. Somebody has to reach across the aisle and offer love. And that's what Jesus did, and ultimately healing the guy's ear and pretty much saying that there's a bigger picture of what's going on than just this white and black. It's a bigger fight. It's ultimately a spiritual fight. And I believe that the hearts of men would come back to God, and that we could get past a lot of the things that plague our society, from racism to all the different things. And so that was kind of that moment where I said, that's what I'm going to stand, and that's why I'm going to stand, and that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that Christ is ultimately the answer for the world, and I did, and it kind of went pretty viral.
Were you involved with FCA in school? Or?
I grew up when I went to Oak Ridge Middle School, and there I was in FCA. That was the only time that I was really affiliated with it. I think during my time at Florida State, I may have went to an FCA of some sorts. I can't really remember, but I do remember the kind of Christian presence on campus. But that's pretty much the only experience that I have with them so far.
How do you think you can use your platform as an NBA player, to glorify God and to spread that?
Well, ultimately, just to when it comes to young kids, so many of them find their identity in the game, like I did.
Yeah.
If you make a shot, if you miss a shot, if you win, if you lose, you're up and you're down. But ultimately, when your identity and foundation is found in Christ, then the smaller matters of this world don't move you. And so what I've been able to do is talk to kids. The book is so much about identity and how I struggled with identity as a kid, how I struggled with love as a kid, and ultimately how all of that was solved and continuing to be solved by the love of Christ. And so I really feel that this book and me, the platform that God has given me, is to reach the youth, the young athletes in this world, and everybody ultimately, that the love of God is going to be what heals this country, what heals this world.
I'm kind of curious, you know, how has your career changed at all, or if even just a little bit, since you decided to stand and not yield during the national anthem? What's kind of been the impact for you?
Yeah, it's definitely gotten more public since the stand. But there was a lot of negativity that obviously came out around it, but so much more positivity of Christians around the world being encouraged and inspired to stand for what they believe in and not feeling the need to be ashamed of it or not go. Part of what my problem was that it was almost, you were made to feel that you had to kneel. You were made to feel that you had to wear the Black Lives Matter t-shirt. There wasn't space to say, I agree with the Black Lives Matter message, but I don't agree with the Black Lives Matter organization, or I don't agree with ultimately what their end game is. And so I felt the need to stand on my convictions in that moment. But I got hurt. I tore my ACL the game after that. The game after I decided to stand, I tore my ACL, and it actually gave me room to write the book in the first place. So I've kind of been on the sideline when it comes to basketball, but in the forefront when it comes to media and promoting the book.
Are there others in the basketball arena that feel the same as you do and you know, have pushed back some?
Absolutely feel the same way that I do. In that moment,
other Christians in there,
right, definitely other Christians that feel the same way that I do, but didn't feel the need to stand in that moment. And I've had conversations with plenty of them afterwards, and they felt that they should have stood or they should have made a different decision. But what I always say is that there's going to be other opportunities to stand. Part of what I'm going to say tonight is that the need to it's getting harder and harder to stand for and with God's word in today's day, but the necessity of it is getting more. It's being made to be much more, but it's necessary that we stand for God's word and ultimately what we believe in.
Let's go a little bit back to straight basketball.
Okay.
Your decision to go to IMG.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, you know, the elite basketball players, sometimes you're coming out of high school and you could get your, and you want to go to college, you could go straight there, or you could have taken it like you did with IMG. And when you were making that decision, what really weighed into saying, you know what, if I go and I go to this elite place, that can help me get to an even better spot?
Yeah, I mean, it was like college. So going to IMG, it was like a completely different world than just high school basketball. You live on campus,
yeah.
You have world-class athletes come in all the time to work out there and spend time there. So it was kind of a no-brainer. I wasn't physically ready to go to Florida State at the time, where I was pushing towards committing
right.
to. And so we kind of all made the decision together. Let's go to IMG for a year, get better, get stronger, and then make the decision to go to college.
And of course, for you, it worked out very well.
Out.
You made the right choice.
So. And actually, a couple guys that I'm familiar with, Anthony Simons, went to IMG, who now plays for the Trailblazers. A couple guys started to take that fifth year to go to post-grad school and then make the decision to go to college.
We've got a local that has really started with Linkier here in the Branson area that out of a sudden they went from non-existent to number 6 in the country this year.
And then didn't they play for number 2 in the high school?
They were at the time. It's where they were ranked, and they got beat. But it's a
unbelievable.
It is.
But Christian influence, strong Christian.
Awesome. Yeah.
Kind of following up what Perry just said, you know, making that decision of where you were going to go after high school. What message would you present to some of the young people that are going to be here or anywhere? What decision they should make? Sports-wise,
whether they should go to school or go pro?
Yeah.
I mean, just everybody's different. So much of it weighs in on just where you're at physically, where you're at mentally, where you're at spiritually, and just your decision-making. But I couldn't give a specific, you should go to school, you should go to college. I think it's a case-by-case basis.
And after 1 year at Florida State, you were able, well, you take your IMG and your Florida State together,
yeah.
And you felt obviously ready to go.
I didn't have a choice. Yeah. After I played my 1 year at Florida State, the coaches told me, you either go or we're going to pack your bags. So all right. I didn't have a choice.
Well, apparently it worked out well, though. So you got drafted, ready to go. So it seems talking about you're sitting the folks here and you spread your message to, you know, where do you go from here? Is this something that you want to, you know, tonight's a great platform, but do things similar to this throughout the country or wherever you are?
Yeah, absolutely. The book is going to be out on May 17th.
Okay.
It's live for pre-order right now on Amazon. It's doing really, really well. I've had some talks with Kevin about the possibility of turning the story into a movie. And so I've been talking to a couple of different entities about it, and they all feel strongly that it's a strong message that can be made into a movie. So just continuing to progress, continue to use the Why I Stand message to inspire Christians all around the world to stand up for what they believe in and not be ashamed of it.
That's a great example. I think that, you know, we're told a lot of times that, you know, it might be easy to become a Christian. All you have to do is ask to come. But live and continue to live and swim against that main flow. Yeah. It's not always an easy thing to do.
It's the Kevin's point, what he talked about in Jesus saying that we'll be hated because he was hated. And so navigating this world that continues to get worse and worse, our light should continue to get brighter and brighter. And even though it'll be harder and harder for that light to shine because of everything that's going on around us, but it's an obligation to do so.
Well, we hope you come back again. Don't let it be the only time in the Ozarks.
For sure.
Well, he was just up in Nashville meeting with Ben Shapiro's company, Daily Wire.
Yeah, so the Daily Wire is the publisher of the book. Uh-huh. The Daily Wire is the publisher of the book. So I've connected with them and had a great conversation. So in Nashville, just exactly where I was before I came here.
Did you see Jeremy's commercial?
I did.
It is absolutely brilliant.
Pretty masterful, for sure. For sure, they did a great job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, your stance is very much appreciated.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Sure is.
You've got backers in this room. You have backers in this audience tonight.
For sure. Thank y'all so much.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome.